This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, you've probably heard of Ofwat. They're the Water Regulatory Authority, but they don't just do regulating. They also have a £200 million innovation fund that aims to grow the water sector's capacity to innovate, enabling it to better meet the evolving needs of customers, society, and of course the environment. They decide who to award the money to through a series of innovation competitions that water companies like Affinity and others can enter. Now, Affinity Water, the company that gets the water into your taps if you live in Hertfordshire, was successful in one of these competitions, the Ofwat Water Breakthrough Challenge. Their entry was entitled Water Neutrality at Nav Sites. And don't worry, we're going to hear exactly what that means in a minute. And it's all to do with how in the southeast, home to 85% of the world's chalkstream rivers and with one of the lowest rainfalls in the UK, how it's going to be able to provide enough water to support its population and economic growth. I spoke to Julian Webster. He's the Water Neutrality Engineering Manager at Affinity Water, to find out more about the innovative idea that had won Affinity Water the Ofwat Challenge funds, how their project had gone, and what they'd learnt. I started by asking Julian to unpick some of those terms for us. And don't worry if you hear a few voices, perhaps behind Julian, he's got two lovely children who were playing at home.
Water neutrality, those developments will be delivered with no impact on local reserves. So if a new housing development would come along and have a requirement for a certain number of homes, it would take additional demand on a network through reducing that supply at the site and an equivalent offset in our local network that exists currently. It will then deliver a water neutral development. So there won't be kind of any additional impact to our supply area, our local reserves, any need to extract more water to serve that development. On the second part of the question around what is a NAV, so it was a relatively new part to the market where Ofwat had introduced competition. So it kind of removes that piece where your incumbent company, i.e. your Affinity Water, your Severn Trent, who if you're a new developer, you are have to go with that company. It introduced competition to that market. So it's a new appointment and variation is where the name comes from. And it's effectively a third party water and wastewater company who will then be awarded that site and they will supply that site. So they'll take a wholesale connection from the incumbent company and then they will have their own network and they will feed the customers and own the customers on that site.
Okay. And just whilst we're on definitions, you mentioned water offsetting. What's that? How does that work?
So the offsetting element is where, from a water neutral perspective, it's looked at in three stages. So stage one is around kind of reducing water. So it's very much around looking at customer behaviour, fixtures and fittings, so reducing flow in the property. The second element is around water reuse. And the final piece is offsetting. So from the first two, you'll have a residual demand at a site. And the final piece where I mentioned offsetting, that's effectively reducing the demand from the local supply area. So actually that new site is water neutral. So there isn't any additional demand then going into that supply area, making the site water neutral.
I see. So you have done this investigation into water neutrality at this NAV site, but it's all really to do with reducing our water use. So can you just explain why it's so important that here in the southeast we cut down on our water usage?
So I'll touch it from a national perspective as well, not just the southeast. The southeast has some significant challenges in that area anyway due to population growth. And equally, it being one of the drier parts of the country, although it might not feel like that this year. But from a national perspective, we have a deficit by 2050 of 5,000 megalitres a day. So there is a huge importance to reduce demand on our network, to reduce down that consumption at a build point, instead of it being something like retrospective later on. We see the opportunities for water neutrality of really being able to support meeting that deficit that we have leading up to 2050. and equally support in delaying some of those larger infrastructure projects that we do need to deliver as a country, and actually enable us the ability to really plan and deliver them accordingly, instead of, you know, having a potential where we need to expedite the delivery of them, because actually the resources are there to be able to actually provide to our customers.
Yeah, so basically there won't be enough water and it'll run out if we don't stop using quite so much of it.
Yes, very much so. Very much as a collective, there is, you know, both from a water company side, but equally kind of a consumer side, we all need to be chipping in to do our piece to actually reduce down what we are using and equally what we're wasting. These are not complex changes in particular. We've done some of the offsetting work and have been retrofitting devices in predominantly schools and council buildings. So, and actually how much we've been able to save from these are simple devices. So tap into some aerators to kind of reduce down that flow, delay inlet valves on toilets, where it just stops the toilet from filling straight away after it's been flushed, and typically saves between 1.5 to 2 litres of water per flush, which when you start adding up flushes in the school, you know, that can be a substantial amount of water. So these are not complex things either. You know, it has such a positive impact.
Indeed. I imagine, yes, if you can do something to reduce the amount of flush that each child in the school uses, the amount of water for each flush, then you will make big savings there, like you say, something really very easy. Now, let's get on with the study you've done. Your focus was on your nav site at Bidwell up in Houghton Regis, where you were testing the effectiveness of a behaviour change campaign on 906 houses. Now, what exactly were you trying to find out?
The trial was all around trying to understand how we kind of engage and communicate with new build customers. Clearly, as a, you know, an industry, we've done a lot with kind of existing customers, but not actually customers that are new going into houses. So it's very much around seeing what works well, taking lessons from that to take forward onto potentially our future sites as part of the project, but equally create something that was kind of an ability to be rolled out wider. The campaign, it was very much targeted based on the community, very much targeted for that development as well. And it was set up as Bidwell Water Savers. But ultimately, as I said, it was to be, you know, the opportunity to be rolled out anywhere. You know, that Bidwell could be replaced with any other development name in the country, and the principles within there can be very similar. And again, the linkages, potentially the local area, can be very quickly and easily brought in as well to actually enable that to be very much a personalised campaign for that development. And it kind of all was around then looking at what kind of drivers there are for then individuals to reduce their water at a stage where they're potentially more amenable to change as well. Being new to a property, wanted to make a change, it's new and exciting. You know, and actually, if you're trying to engage me at that point, I might be a lot more easier to be influenced and make changes to my behaviour against someone that's potentially been in the home for a long time and they're used to that home.
Yes. So was there any particular way? You've said that you tried to make it a very much a community communication, make people feel that they were working together. Was there any particular messages that you were giving which you felt were particularly effective?
The launch of the campaign, so we actually piggybacked off the back of a community event, gave away free cakes also to engage the local community, local families in that area, very much trying to make it we are part of that community and very much embedding ourselves in that community itself. We then also done a pond dipping exercise in collaboration with the University of Hertfordshire to support kind of understanding that bigger wildlife picture on the site as well and how it all kind of links in together. So we found that really powerful. Equally, the web page and the content around it very much based around the local content. It was very easy for them to engage with. You know, the kind of pledges that they're making is not complex stuff either. These are things such as, you know, turning the tap off when you're brushing your teeth, shower for less time, not using a hose over, you know, using a watering can instead. From a pledge point of view, that was one of our more popular pledges. And just for a bit of context, as this is a Ofwat funded project, that campaign run from April to end of August. So over a 5-month period that campaign run for, so we could actually get the data and get the learners and start being able to understand what benefit we've had, and then ideally roll that out to another development within our budget we have available from Ofwat to deliver effectively the blueprint for water neutrality as well.
So it sounds like the thing that made this different, as you say, was the community element, and then the fact that you even went so far as to run community events to really bring the purpose for the water saving right to the forefront of their minds and asking people to make pledges. So how successful was your campaign? Were you able to make differences that were substantial?
Very much so. We engage with a total of 382 households. So of that 900 that you mentioned earlier, we actually engaged with 382 of them directly. So they made pledges. They were household pledges. So within them households, there was potentially families. So it was actually multiple pledges. So we had in total around about 1,000 pledges in total across that 382 households. Then we had 526 roughly non-pledging households. So again, now people didn't engage with the project, didn't actually make a pledge. But what we've seen as part of our results and analysis from the meter read from that site directly. So the site is, as I touched on earlier, an AV site. It's with Independent Water Networks Limited. So Independent Water Networks were limited under meter reads prior, during and after the campaign, and potentially going to be doing further follow-ups as well. Or we're looking at a smart solution on site to really capture the performance and actually understand how sustainable that is and actually kind of the wider steps after that, just to kind of understand what degradation we may see on that behaviour change and actually what we've seen on site. But as a general overview from those pledge-taking households, they on average save 33 litres of water, 33 litres per day. And those non-pledge-taking households, so this is a really bit for me that actually is a lot more powerful, they've actually been saving 23 litres per day as well. I'd like to think clearly then there's been a positive runoff for the messaging in there, and a lot of people haven't directly engaged in the campaign. It has still influenced their behaviours, and they have then changed that. So across the site, that then kind of equated to a 25 litres a day per day saving across the whole campaign and post-campaign for actually what we've seen from the start of the campaign to the end of the campaign. And then equally, that then equated to a litres per person per day figure of around about 105 litres per person per day, which is a really positive output in relation to kind of the government target for new developments of anything between 125 as kind of the top line figure down to 110 as the stretching figure. So really positive to see actually that the development and the customers are now below that.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Do you know how that compares with what you would normally do? I get emails from Affinity Water asking me to, I don't know, for example, turn the tap off whilst I'm cleaning my teeth or whatever. Would those kind of things, just the random emails, be successful? Have you got any comparison here?
As it was a unique, smaller environment we could actually engage with, so you're talking about 900 households, we were actually able to do a much more targeted approach on that. So I'm clearly scanning it up to a Affinity Water, 1.5 million households is a bit more challenging, but we had, for this site, was able to do a door-knocking campaign, and we had two people who were able to go to site, knock on doors, and engage with people around actually the benefits, if they had taken pledges, how they were kind of doing with their pledges, and then equally support and bring the project further to life and go, this is what we're doing, obtain further pledges. It enabled it to be a really tailored experience against something that's trying to say, trying to spread it out to 1.5 million people. We're not, as a company, going to be able to get people going out and knocking doors to that many people. So I think with new developments, it offers a very different opportunity, being very tailored to the new development against a wider approach where actually you're trying to communicate with millions of customers.
So looking forward then, there's a lot more housing in the pipeline for places like Hertfordshire. Will you be using campaigns like this in the new developments as they come online?
Long term, yes. We very much want to continue looking at how we can engage customers, what that can look like and how that can support alongside elements such as smart metering. We are gearing up to deliver 10 to 15 year rollout of smart meters across our full customer base. And it kind of gives a much smarter, easier kind of data element to actually be able to work with customers around their usage, and actually, you know, really actually be able to tailor and personalize journeys to customers, because we'll actually have a better understanding of their usage and how we can support them and actually reducing that down.
Indeed. So do you have any other experiments, trials to try and get us to use less water in the pipeline?
As a project piece, I'll touch on that quickly. From a water neutrality at NAV sites, Project Zero, we do. And the funding have enabled us to look at three sites. They were Bidwell, being one of them, as our behaviour change site. The other two sites were linked to technology more so. Site one was a technology only site. So that was looking at opportunities to reuse water and or look at opportunities to find really positive, innovative fittings to reduce down that consumption at a household level. Our third site was to bring together the learning from site one as technology, from site two as behaviour change, and really to deliver a holistic approach of actually how we deliver a water neutral development as we'd expect it to be delivered. So behaviour change, reducing fittings, water reuse, and offsetting altogether. The water reuse bit is currently a challenge. So from a legislative point of view and regulation point of view, as a water undertaker, we can't currently offer it. The Act and the regulations govern us to deliver wholesome water for sanitary and irrigation purposes. So we can't do that at domestic level. And it's something we are supporting and driving forward with as well to enable us to do that. From a project point of view, we are hoping to get another two sites delivered so we can really expand our learning and really create, as I touched on earlier, that blueprint. So this will be a national output. The blueprint will be shared nationally with water companies. All water companies will be able to use this data to deliver, ideally, water neutral developments in their areas as well.
That sounds like a very valuable contribution. Julian, thank you so much for telling us about that. I was talking there to Julian Webster, Water Neutrality Engineering Manager at Affinity Water. And after the interview, actually, I asked Julian what he thought were the biggest things that we could do to reduce the amount of water that we use. And he said that in the summer, it was not using a hose pipe and year round, keeping those showers short, particularly if we've got a power shower. And of course, if we do use less water, of course, that means there's more water left for our local rivers, for the water voles, for the otters, for the kingfishers, and all the other wildlife that calls our rivers home. And do take a look on the podcast page of mix926.com for previous shows where we've heard about the brilliant work being done to help Hertfordshire's rivers. It'd be great to hear your water saving tips. You can contact me via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or you can search for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook and on Twitter or X. I'll be back with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for joining me.